Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh, my goodness. Did you not get the memo?
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. And Brian's out today. And David Haw, kind enough to sit in. And let's get out to the Home Run In Hotline, Home Run In Pizza. Try one on the grill at your next tailgate. And we'll get down to Dallas. KC Johnson awaiting the start of the Bulls season tomorrow against the defending champion. Wait a minute. No, he's not in Dallas, is he? And Casey, you're
he's
not
behind
even,
the glass.
You're covering every other sport every time I turn around. I'd like to pretend that the season's starting, if that's okay, because I really need a little fill of the NBA. Man, this thing, it's just getting, you know what it is, Casey? It's every time they actually talk about the 50-50 split, that's when the talks blow up.
Correct.
It's unbelievable. They're like 95% close. It's done. Everything good. Now let's talk about the BRI. Well, God, getting the hell out of here.
Haven't we all been around professional sports long enough to know it's always about the money?
Wow.
Yeah.
So true.
You guys need some Dirk Nowitzki sound?
What does 95% of the deal done mean? Because anyone who's closed on a house knows that that last 5% matters. You get down, you sit down, you think you got a deal, and then you don't. I mean, are we close or are we still at the same point?
Well, the reason why, you know, and obviously that was some fantastic reporting in the New York Times that had all the details of the deal that's coming. But the reason why you can't say it's 95% done is because the money is tied into the system. So you can focus on all the system issues, you know, the luxury tax penalties, the length of contracts, that kind of stuff, all you want. Until you agree on the BRI, the split of income, you know, it's not done because the league may offer 50-50 with the system exactly how it wants, but if the union doesn't agree to all the system issues the way that they are, the league might drop that income split to back down to 47. And so they are intertwined, and that's why anytime the talks have blown up, that's where the trouble has been when they've tried to solve the two issues simultaneously.
How do you get past it? How do you resolve it? I mean, it's obvious that the league seems to be waiting to see how the players react when they miss a check or two.
Right.
Is that what it's going to have to take?
Yes. My take on this is actually fairly simplistic. I've been saying this from the get-go. It may sound too simplistic. This lockout will end when the league wins and when it wants it to. The league, I'm not basing this on anything other than just conversations with people around the league. Nobody from the league has told me this, obviously. My feeling and my take and my guess is that the league knows exactly when this is going to end. And they know when they want it to end, and they know at what point they want it to end. And, you know, they just aren't making a deal right now. I mean, every time, the players' union has made concessions, and from my perspective, they've made tons of concessions. And the league talks about the concessions it's made, but it's those concessions are coming from, you know, an incredibly draconian initial offer where the players are going to get 37% of basketball-related income. And, you know, length of contracts are going to be 2 and 3 years long. I mean, so, you can say that they've come off that stuff, but those were just unrealistic demands at the start. And that's I know that's how negotiations work. However, from my perspective, the union has recognized the model is broken and gone to a realistic point fairly quickly. The league is now just kind of getting around to a realistic point.
So when it does end, if it does end, you know, during the NFL lockout, there were always reports about teams getting together to stage these workouts and,
right,
you know, the Saints and whoever else were ahead of the game and this and that. I mean, are the Bulls even doing that? I know we read about all these the tours that people are or they're not part of. And is there going to be a team that is going to be ahead of the curve because they have done – conducted these workouts that we haven't heard much about?
I don't think so. And the Bulls have not done anything as a group. They've done a lot of individual stuff. They're all, I mean, obviously a lot of those guys played international ball this summer, so they're going to be in fairly decent shape. You know, you hear the cliche that it might favor veteran teams, maybe if there's a shorter season. I do think teams like the Celtics, you know, that have been around and know what they're doing will be fine. Obviously the Bulls, in my opinion, are going to be fine because you've got, you know, a staff that's basically been up at the Berto Center working like it's just normal stuff. I mean, that's how Tom operates. His entire staff is in there every day, at least 8 hours a day, if not more, just preparing. And they don't have any players to work with. So my point is, whenever they do get that new CBA and the balls can bounce on the floor, they're going to hit the ground running. You know, that World Tour, that had skeptical, in fact, an appearance here on the score, I said that that had skepticism written all over it, and it did get officially canceled, so that's not happening. But Derek, you know, he did one exhibition in the Philippines over the summer. He was out in Hawaii doing a nice Hoops for Troops USO tour with some other Arntellum clients, and he's obviously been in shape working out in L.A. most of the summer, so I don't have any concerns about the Bulls, maybe except for the exception of Carlos Boozer coming into shape very, very good condition.
What happens? I mean, when you make the announcement that this thing is resolved, if they make the announcement that it's resolved, do you go through the same kind of NFL-style
right.
abbreviated free agency period, massive signings, contact the undrafted guy? I mean, how quickly can you put the team together? Do they have this this idea of who they want already, and do they have any secret arrangements or any kind of, you know, backwater channels where they're trying to make sure they get the guys that they feel they need?
Yeah, I can tell you, Mully, for sure they've been doing, obviously, you know, just background on guys that they can possibly fit into to their system. But it's kind of a weird situation because you don't know the CBA, so you don't know the rules yet. You don't know who and what you might be able to sign, but obviously they're preparing for all, you know, scenarios. Okay, if we have this number, X amount of money to sign, this is the tier of guys we're looking at. If we have X amount of money, guys, this is the tier of guys we're looking at, that kind of thing. But it will be similar to the NFL. I mean, it's generally accepted both from league officials and union officials and agents and teams that it's going to take about 28 days from the handshake to opening night. And that's going to be, you know, a week to 10 days of lawyers signing off on all the details, a mad dash, probably 7-day free agency period, and then an abbreviated training camp that might feature one or two exhibitions. So you're talking 28 days from handshake to opening tip. And, you know, the Bulls are going to be prepared for whatever the new rules are. Obviously, they probably want to try to address the shooting guard situation. Keith Bogans can be under contract if they pick up that option. My guess is that they will not, and that they will try to upgrade that position slightly. But if the rules are prohibitive, I mean, they'd bring Keith back. He started all 82 games in the entire playoffs last season. So they're preparing for all scenarios, but they can't do anything until they know the rules.
I'm not going to break into my Bing Crosby voice and go into song, but best guess, will you be home for Christmas, or will you be in L.A. covering the Bulls and the Lakers?
Well, yeah, I know. That's the thing is that, again, I come back to I think this league ends when the league wants it to, and I think that's a very realistic possibility that there will be Christmas Day games, and we all know how much of a revenue builder that is for the NBA, and it's one of their marquee days. There will be a revamped and reworked schedule whenever this is solved now, so that Bulls at Lakers at Staples Center on Christmas, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to happen, although I certainly think it would still happen if there is games on Christmas. And I'm out of predictions, guys. I know that's bad radio, but I mean, this is just silly. It's even gone this far,
yep.
So I have no idea when this thing's going to end.
Well, you know, and we talked about this a little bit, this idea that there could be some sort of language in place like the last time where you could dump a contract, where you could get
right.
Amnesty on one deal. Would the Bulls do that with a Carlos Boozer contract? Is there anybody out there that would make sense to try to jump at? Is there any deal to be made?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the problem is
I have not bounced this off anybody in the organization yet because I'm waiting until the deal is solved. My guess is on they would not use the amnesty on Boozer, and here's why. According to the reporting that's been done, the amnesty looks like it can be used at any time in the length of the CBA as long as that player is already under contract.
Oh, great.
Carlos Boozer, I mean, I know he's maligned. You know, the dude can help, and he can help in certain ways, and he still demands defenses to make a decision on him at the offensive end. And I just don't see why you would waive a guy. You'd still have to pay him. It would just be for the luxury tax and salary cap benefits to use this amnesty on a player. I mean, I just can't see them doing that after one season, especially when you might want flexibility moving forward in a different year.
Well, you know, KC, what people are clamoring to know from you is obviously – what got into Victor Stahlberg Saturday night?
he's the smooth Swede. There you go. I created a hockey nickname. Or Stolly or what? I don't know. What do you call that guy? Yeah, and I'm at Nebraska. I'm at Northwestern Nebraska this Saturday. Our colleague Teddy Greenstein's going on a little paternity leave. So, yeah, I'm just kind of bouncing all over the place.
Is his wife going to have the child?
Yeah,
his wife is
going to have the child.
Okay.
He's going to be laid up helping her out. I think.
And that's good in Lincoln, him, right? Northwestern
yes,
goes
it is.
To Lincoln,
yes,
Nebraska.
They do.
My second trip to Lincoln this fall.
Wow.
Well, they're no good anyway. What did they do over the week? Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute.
Casey Johnson for the Tribune joining us. You know, Phil Jackson was on the other station and talked a little bit about what the Bulls have to get. He said they still need more shooters around. More help is needed for one Derrick Rose. You know, obviously they have some improvements to make. Will they do so? Are there guys that they can bring in? Do you see any players on the landscape that would be a huge help to the Bulls that would be perfect fits?
My sense is that what they will do is hope that maybe like a classy veteran type who can stretch the floor a little bit as another offensive option might get waived or bought out under the new rules, and is one of those guys that comes to the Bulls looking at them as a chance to win a championship for like a lower salary. You know, similar to some of the guys that signed on with Miami last year, role players, you know, like the Mike Millers and guys that saw LeBron, Wade, and Bosch together and decided, you know, hey, I want to go get a chance at a ring. You know, I know that this guy has somewhat of a soft reputation at times, but I think he could actually help in the right situation. A guy like Vince Carter, now he's under contract with the Suns, but almost certainly will be bought out. You know, not a great defender, but you obviously can stretch the floor, has the ability to put up big numbers occasionally. And I know some people call him like a dog because he drifts and stuff, but he's not a bad teammate. He's actually pretty well liked within the locker room. He's just kind of more of a floater than anything else. And I think in the right environment, like a Thibodeau-led environment, he'd be fine. So that's
he can also attack the rim. I mean, that would be a huge boon to Derrick Rose to have somebody else that could actually drive to the basket.
Yeah, there are two problems. They don't have enough outside shooting, and they only have one person who can create off the dribble, and Derrick. Right. So, you know, Vince, I know he's aging and he can disappear at times, but that's a guy that I certainly think that they might look at if he gets bought out. So those are the type of guys. But again, they don't know what they can do until they know the rules, you know. So they're just doing background on different possibilities. So once they get the rules, they know which direction they can go.
Seems like it was ages ago, Casey, but before the lockout, was there a rumor about Joe Johnson perhaps being cut loose by the Hawks? And is that...
Yeah, I just don't see that. I mean, that new ownership sale is in flux now, so I don't see them amnestying him because, you know, again, you still have to pay these guys when you amnesty him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's their only slight draw, which is not much at all. So I don't see that happening moving forward.
All right, KC, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, KC.
You know, miss talking about the Bulls. And, you know, look forward to more Hawks and football talk.
We can just make it up. Have me on next week. We'll make up a game.
I'm with you. I want to break down the league. I want to know who's going to be good and who isn't. I want to talk about, you know, I mean, there's so many things to get through to start a season, and I just feel like they're robbing me of it. And I love the NBA, and I'm really peeved.
I'll be here, guys, when it ends.
Thanks, KC. Appreciate it, buddy. All right.